Well, hello there, ladies of No BS. Good evening. I am Coach Lizzie. Happy Tuesday, May 20th. Here we are on our nighttime eating, nighttime drinking, nighttime substance of your choice call, where we talk about anything and everything that's coming up for you in terms of eating at night, drinking at night, just handling all the things at night. So, welcome, welcome, welcome. So glad you're here. Go ahead and write me a note in chat and let me know, like, can you see me? Can you hear me? That would be good. And also, just a quick tip reminder to please make mark your chat to everyone instead of hosts and panelists. Annette is here. This is great. And Lori and someone at yahoo.com. Rhonda, thank you, team. Thank you so much all for being here. So this is a live coaching call. If you want to get coached, you want to do some back and forth, talk about nighttime eating, nighttime drinking, really anything, stopping at enough, like raise your hand. Let's have some chats. Let's do some coaching. And so I would love to hear from you and hear what's going on. It's interesting. This month of May has been all about nighttime eating, and I would be curious to hear how many of you signed up for the nighttime eating texts from Corinne. I just off the top of my head thought about this, and so I'm pulling up that page if you want. I've heard a ton of great feedback from people about the texts from Corinne each night and the evenings. Here's the link. I'll put that in the chat. Isn't it helpful to have just a friendly reminder? And I think that that's one of the things about No BS that is just different in that there are so many ways that Corinne, the team, the coaches, MJ, that we're all wanting to support you in helping you, address your goals. So yeah, Kimberly's saying she loves it. It's super helpful. Caitlin signed up for the text. Connie did. Great, right? And so I would be really interested to hear if, of those of you who signed up for the text, like, what did you how does it help you? What have you kind of reflected on? And so, like I said, this is a live coaching call. So please raise your hands so we can get some coaching. And even if you're like, I wasn't planning on raising my hand, but nobody else is here. So I guess, I mean, people are here, but nobody else is raising their hand. I guess maybe I'll go ahead and raise my hand. Please do that. Because otherwise we're gonna have a short call. Because I can riff on a few things, but after a while, you're going to get tired of hearing from me. So please raise your hands. Jacqueline is saying, it makes me think twice before reaching for a snack. Exactly. Is it only for the month of May? That's a good question. I think so, but I can check with you on that, or check on that for you, rather. Kimberly says, the evening text breaks into your routine thinking. Which is so interesting because I think that both what Jacqueline and Kimberly said of like, it makes me think twice, it breaks into my routine. That really kind of hits at the core of what kind of happens with nighttime eating is that we have an urge and we act on it. Like there's no beat in between urge acting. And a lot of making progress in, changing your relationship with nighttime eating, with emotional eating, with, eating to relax, eating for comfort, eating for all kinds of reasons that are not food, excuse me, not hunger. The whole point is just pr elongating that space between urge and action. That's all it is. It's just, I have an urge. Can I wait a second? Can I wait 5 seconds? Can I wait a minute? 5 minutes? 7 minutes? Because the more space you can fit between the urge and the acting on the urge, the more time you allow your intellectual brain, your thinking brain, to get, get a say in the decision to say, is this really what I want? Am I going to feel great about this tomorrow? Because the in the moment decision maker is our lower brain that's very impulsive, that's very habit based, that's very emotion based. Whereas our long-term thinking brain is very thought-based, intellectual. And so when we have an urge, that's all about emotion. And so if we can stretch out that time between the urge and the action, that just gives your brain a chance to have a dialogue. Annette says, I've only eaten 3 times this month at bedtime, and I was a nightly eater since the workshop. I do have one issue though, and I'm working it through. Well, Annette, that's really interesting. I would love to hear or have you raise your hand, and maybe we could work through whatever that issue is together. But that's awesome. Great progress on, only eating 3 times this month during the month of May. One thing that you may not have caught it, I did a quick Facebook Live, kind of a pop-up, a surprise Facebook Live today about secret eating, because that was what Corinne's 365 was about today. And just a little, little poll here. Give me a reaction. Give me a thumbs up or a heart or something if you've ever done secret eating, secret drinking, secret anything else. All kinds of reactions. If you go back into the Facebook Live and the Facebook group, I tell you a little bit about my experience with secret drinking. That has been an issue for me in the past. And it just whether it's eating or drinking anything, like it just comes up with so much shame. And what I love about the 365 from today is that Corinne talks about it's not a you problem. It's simply that your brain has had a little bit of an error message in it, that somewhere along the line, your brain learned that either the food or the drink or the behavior itself was bad, was wrong. And there's all kinds of ways that our brain can learn that message. And so, I mean, I for one, certainly, like I remember absolutely telling my husband, like, I think I just have a problem. I think this is just like a default in my wiring and it's always going to be a problem for me. And I was wrong. And it's not just like for you. Like, it is not a you problem. It's simply a mistaken error message that your brain has learned over time that, like, again, XYZ food, XYZ behavior is bad and shameful. And let me talk about shame. The shame is what keeps us stuck. And I tell on my Facebook Live a story about, years later when I had the brave, the courage enough to confess to 2 friends that, like, sometimes I drink by myself. And they're like, yeah. And it was amazing to me how pivotal, how much it changed my relationship with myself. Like, granted, this is a very long process, but to begin to talk about it, that when shame thrives in the dark, it's like moldy grossness in that corner of the dark, moisty yuck. It's like it needs darkness. It needs that place to thrive. When you shine some light, when you bring it up into the surface, it loses its power. And so if you have ever struggled with secret eating, secret drinking, secret anything, like I really encourage you to talk to your accountability partner, talk to us and ask coaches, bring it up here on this coaching call, because just as Corinne said in that 365, you can't heal what you don't bring to the surface, which you don't address. That may not have been her direct quote, but it was, roughly like that. And I can say certainly from experience that the way to heal that shame is number one, begin to bring it to the surface in a safe way. No BS is a safe space. And number two, self-compassion. It is absolutely life-changing. Okay. So if anybody wants to talk more about that, please raise your hand. In the meantime, we got Rhonda has raised her hand. And so I'm going to promote to panelists and we're going to get some coaching going. Right. Love it. Let's go. Rhonda is on her way, I think. Maybe. I tried. Promote to panelists. Let me try it again. There we go. Hi, Rhonda. I'm going to ask you to unmute and start your video if you can.
Did I do it?
Yes. Hello.
Okay. Hi. I accidentally hit to raise my hand.
Well, thank you for accepting my invitation. I guess this is a maybe it's a happy accident.
Yeah. So I trying to get the so I do I eat at night. Usually after, like it's almost like right after dinner, I have a thought about, oh, what's next? like, what's the next thing to eat? Or my husband usually goes to sleep before me, and then when he goes to sleep, it's almost I immediately stand up and go into the kitchen. So I like this month. I'm trying to practice some of the things, but I think I'm trying, I don't know if I'm trying to do too many, if I need to focus on one thing. Like my ping-ponging is always has been my attempts at that have been like, okay, I send one thing back and now I'm done.
I did it once. I'm good.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So, for the purposes of our conversation, would you rather us discuss the dinner is over, what's next thought, or my husband has gone to sleep, now it's my chance to go to the kitchen?
I think it's when my husband goes to sleep. I think that that's the main thing.
Okay. So if you're able, like what kinds of thoughts are going through your mind at a moment like that?
See, I don't know. And I know that's terrible. I just don't. There's not a coherent thought that I can, you know, I don't know. I guess it's like, oh, well, the chips are out there. Chips are a big thing. Or, you know, and then if I have chips, then, oh, well, now I need something sweet because I had salty. Now I need sweet.
Okay.
So, but I don't know exactly what the, if it's now I'm relaxing because I'm on my own, because he's gone to sleep, or he usually will watch whatever he wants to watch on TV, and I'll just sit and watch whatever he wants to watch. But then when he goes to sleep, then I change the channel and I watch what I want to watch. So
Okay.
it's like that's kind of my time, I guess.
Okay. Do you like that pattern? Does that work for you?
All but the eating part of it.
Okay. And I'm just checking. And the reason why I ask is because if it's a question of like gritting your teeth through whatever he wants to watch, and I'm waiting for him to go to bed so that I can finally get what I want, and you're not advocating for yourself, that would be potentially a avenue for us to pursue. But it sounds like you don't mind. It's more like he's gone to sleep. Now I can have something
Right.
to eat.
Yes. Yeah. Not that I don't, I mean, I'm not, I know I'm not hungry. I mean,
Okay.
rarely am I hungry at that point.
Okay. So when we eat, when we're not hungry, usually, not always, but usually it's meeting a need, like an under the surface level need. Off the top of your head, if I were to say, Rhonda, tonight, when your husband goes to sleep, don't eat. Watch any show you want, enjoy it, but don't eat. What feelings come up?
I don't know, I just got a feeling in my stomach, but I'm not sure what it was.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Was it a good feeling or a negative feeling?
No, I think it was a negative feeling. Like, I don't know what the comfort is that comes with the food. I'm not sure what that's trying to do.
Okay. Well, already you said the word comfort, which is a need. So it's possible that the food is meeting the need of comfort. Typically, other needs that the food could be meeting, I'm just kind of tossing out a buffet here. And so I want you to let me know what resonates with you, if anything. Could be safety. I feel safe. I feel loved, comforted, entertained. I feel like this is my me time, my chance for me. So it's kind of like self-care. Any of those resonate with you?
Yeah, I think it's me time. I do, and I don't know if this is more come on more since working from home, so that I'm home more, but I'm still not spending time with my husband. He's retired, so I'm not spending time with him because I'm in the other room working. So then when I finish work and I come out, I want to go take a walk, get away from the house. And he's ready to spend time with me. So it's like, I need, you know, I think I am looking for that me time, and he's all for me going for a walk. That's not a problem, but I also know that he would rather that I was just home with him rather than leaving the house at that point.
Okay. Would he also rather you eat by yourself at night with TV?
No, probably not.
I mean, he may not care, which is
fine.
Well,
I'm sure he doesn't care. Yeah, I mean, it's not, there's no judgment there, I don't think. But then he doesn't know because I'm basically secret eating because he's asleep.
Okay, fair.
I don't go get that snack until after he's gone to sleep.
So this is really helpful to kind of surface that you're working from home and he's retired. I don't want to project on you, but I know for myself when, you know, I work from home, when my husband also works from home. So God bless him. We spend enough time together. It's when my kids are home, when my kids are home from school and I'm not spending time with them. I mean, I'm working, it's fine. But there's like this very, very quiet whisper saying like, you're ignoring your children. You're being a bad mom. And so there's like this sort of subtle little drip of guilt going on while I'm working from home and not spending time with them. Meanwhile, they're fine. They're like, I'm good. I don't need you, mom. But so I'm just curious if there's a little bit of like, I need my time for me. At the same time, I feel guilty for not spending time with him. And so there's this sort of like tie-dye mix of all sorts of feelings together.
That is true. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And that's why the watching TV at night and him watching what he wants to watch, whether I like it or not, we sit together and we watch whatever it is, because that is time that we can spend together. So
just curious, if you could do anything you like after dinner, that time window is time you're going to spend with your husband. You could watch TV. You could watch his show. You could watch your show. You could go for a walk together. There, you could knit mittens together. I don't know. If you could choose whatever you would want to do as time with your husband during that time window, does anything come to mind?
Well, I like to get outside and go for a walk. And sometimes he will go with me and he'll go for a short walk and then I'll drop him back at the house and then I'll go for more.
Okay.
So we do that occasionally, but then on days where maybe he's already been working outside or whatever, then he doesn't want to do that after I get done. Like, I can't do it during the day when he's doing it. So then at night is when I want to go take a walk, get outside.
So you have competing desires. You have the desire to spend quality time with him, and you have the desire to, I don't know that getting outside for a walk is necessarily a solo activity time for you, but it, even if it's with him, it still feels like time for you, it sounds like.
Right. Right. I really enjoyed that. Going, you know, going for a walk after work. I really enjoyed that.
Great. Hypothetically, if you went for a walk after work, does that impact your desire for food after he's gone to bed at all?
No, because I'm pretty consistent with taking the walk. So it's not like if I take the walk, I don't necessarily snack at night. And I have been getting better at not eating at night, but like last night, I did. He's not even home. He's out of town. So that could be a whole nother thing.
Oh, yeah.
He, you know, I have the house to myself now. So it wasn't that I was, you know, he went to sleep and then I was alone. I was here by myself all night. So.
And did you eat?
I did.
Great. No problem. What do you think the food did for you?
Made me feel bad. I didn't need the food. I didn't, you know, I felt like I had thoughts of, you don't need this. It doesn't even taste that good. It's not, you should just put it away. And obviously, eventually I did, but it was probably at a point where I should have just gone to bed because it was late.
Yeah.
And it was the, oh, I'm in the middle of this show. It's almost done, but oh, I need a snack now. You know, where I should have just It's not like I couldn't just turn off the TV and go to bed. That's probably what I needed at that point.
Or could you have continued to watch the show without a snack?
Without a snack, right? I feel like I haven't done the hard stuff, like saying no to the snack and sitting with it. You know, I haven't done that.
Right.
I love that Brianna says I'm singing her song. Like, I thought I'm the only one who has this issue.
Yes. No, iPhone says that as well. Yeah, your comments are resonating with a lot of us. And I wonder, so we talked about, it feels like me time, but I wonder how much of this is now's my chance.
Right.
It kind of like, and to some degree, a little bit like vacation of like the rules don't apply because
Right.
I'm in a different place.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about vacation, which we could try and apply here, is that like when you go on vacation, you're still you, just in a different location. When it's at night and your husband is in bed, you're still you. It's just a different time of day. And so, what is it about your brain that says, now's my chance? I can get around the rules. I can get through the loophole.
I don't know. I feel like I like the way the direction that I'm going with no BS, but I just feel like I'm just not quite there. I've lost a bunch of weight. I'm probably 10 to 12 pounds from my goal, and I've
Yeah.
been the same. I just looked at my chart and my data and stuff, and I'm like the same 5 pounds back and forth for the last almost to a year now. It's been the same 5 pounds back and forth.
Okay.
So, and like everybody else, I'm not really a problem with breakfast, lunch, and dinner eating to enough. It's the extra at night. And then like today it was like a 3:30, which I've been really good about not having that afternoon snack, but because I don't need it. I'm not hungry, but it's the, I don't want to do this work that I have left to do in my day. I don't want to finish up, summarize all my work and everything that I'm supposed to do at the end of the day. So I wanted a snack, and today I had a snack. But I've been doing better with that. But it's the late night or the after dinner that I know I'm not hungry, that I know is the problem.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Okay. But this is so great because you're pinpointing, here's the problem. I just don't know what's underneath it. So maybe in our conversations, we can kind of identify what's underneath it. And I loved your example of today at 3:30 that you were saying that I didn't want to finish my work. So if we ask what the urge was for food, if we ask what was the need underneath the urge, the need was a break. Your brain was tired. You had an hour and a half less left of work. Your brain was like, can I please not? And you were like, we have to. And so it said, all right, can we negotiate a snack in with the deal? Can I at least get a reward? And what the need was a genuine break. So hypothetically, you could have gone for a walk then. You could have just stood in the doorway of your front door and like let the sun shine on your face or whatever the weather was that day.
Yeah, right.
Just kind of giving yourself a genuine break, a brain break from work, because that's what your brain was asking for. And since you were like, we have to keep finish, we have to finish, it was like, all right, could we get food in the mix? In the evening, we probably have a different need. Your brain is probably not asking for a break from work after your husband's gone to bed.
Right.
But it is asking for, this is my like secret me time where it's just me and I do what I want. I think. Does that
Right.
resonate or not so much?
I think so. Yeah. And time when it's quiet and I can like look at my journal, or I can do the things that are on my to-do list as opposed to my work to-do list or my family to-do list or whatever, like things that I want to do for me.
Can you give me two or three examples of what's on your to-do list?
What's on my to-do list? Walk is on there. It's time of year to flip the closets and take the winter clothes out and put the summer clothes in. And I have
Sounds fun.
and the reason I want to do that is because I have a bunch of clothes that are too big for me now. So I want to go through my clothes
Yeah.
and see what's good and what's not good. And that's kind of work, but then I think it's kind of good, very rewarding. But it is a big project, and it's not, but it's on my to-do list. So I don't know. I feel like I'm just going in circles.
I have a proposal for you. After your husband goes to bed, we no longer have a to-do list. We have a to-fun list. So, like, what are things that you could do just for fun?
I don't know. I don't get to watch a lot of TV by myself, so I could do that. I like to do a puzzle. I do like to organize. I do like to get my desk cleaned off, and I don't consider that a chore because I like to see that clean surface. So really just picking up stuff is not, I don't consider it a chore. I think it's like it satisfies me. I see the progress. So I like that. But I don't want to tackle, like I said, the closet. I don't want to tackle a closet at night, but I could, put things away and organize and get my clothes ready for the next day or something like that. Being organized helps me feel like I'm accomplishing something.
Yeah. It's funny as you were saying that with being organized, like, cleaning and so forth, cleaning like off your desk. It actually reminded me of how I changed my relationship with exercise. That when I was young, like, there were coaches and they said, do this. And so I was always being told what to do. And it got to a point where I was a little bit resentful. And so for quite a while after school, I was like, hell no, I'm not exercising because no one's telling me what to do. So, it was very much, sort of a rebel thought. Long story short, got to a point in my life that was very stressful, and I decided I was going to go out and run, quote unquote, with no rules. This was my gift to myself. I could go as short as I want. I could go as slow as I want. I was going to listen to the cheesiest young adult fantasy book I could find, and I could stop whenever I wanted. There was no rules. All this was my gift to myself to enjoy the sunshine, the birds chirping, and to have some fresh air. And it almost sounds like that time in the evening after your husband goes to bed is like, this is my gift to myself. What if I had no rules? Like, I can declutter my desk and I don't have to finish it. I can do it as long as I want. I can stop whenever I want. There's no rules about when I have to finish or how long I go. I can listen to a cheesy young adult fantasy book. It just like, what would shift for you if you looked at that time after your husband goes to bed as like, this is my gift to myself? What would that present, like if you unwrap the present, what would it look like?
Yeah, I think I could make a list of things that I wanted to do. I don't know, doing my nails, doing my, doing manicure, pedicure, that kind of stuff. I don't normally shower at night. I usually shower in the morning, but I have thought about be really kind of relaxing just to take a shower at night and not, I don't have to worry about doing my hair or whatever, but that kind of stuff. And then still I work out at night. So, after work, I go for a walk. I'm not a morning workout person. I'm more of a nighttime workout person. So I could do something like that, but more like a yoga or something that's more relaxing, not as like running or something,
So I have an idea for you, an experiment to try. And I love treating everything like an experiment because there's no way to screw it up. There's no way to fail. All you're doing, you're collecting data. And when you're doing that, like, you always win because you're learning something. So my idea for you for an experiment is, Rhonda, you already came up with several ideas of like This could be a gift to myself. That could be a gift to myself. You know, a shower, going for a walk. Perhaps if it's late and it's dark, that may or may not be an option.
Right.
Puzzles, you know, things like that. And so you could make a list of like, I've got five things to try. I'm going to, you know, five weeknights. I'm going to experiment with one each night. And this is my gift to myself. And once I try it, if I still want to eat, I can totally eat. But this, I'm going to like insert again, just as I said earlier, if we're putting a little bit more space between the urge and the action, and the space you're putting in there is your gift to yourself, whether that's a shower or a walk or a puzzle or something of just like 5 minutes, 10 minutes of like, let's just see if I try this and I treat it like my luxurious gift to me. No rules. I can stop whenever I want. I can take as much time as I want. I can listen to something if I want. It's just for me. And if you want to eat later, okay. But like you can collect some data. What are your thoughts?
That sounds good. I like that idea and framing it that way, that this is my time, this is my gift to me. These are the things that I could do to make it my time.
Yeah.
As opposed to just it's after work and I'm just it's that time between work and bed, you know.
Right.
Like do something with that time.
Yeah. Can I offer you a little pro tip?
Sure.
So certainly in my experience, when, you know, my analogy was exercise, which, you know, was not spectacular by any means. And there were definitely days where I was like, oh, I don't feel like it. But I had the ping pong of, I always feel better if I just do something.
Right.
And so that was like my deal with myself of like, fine, I'll do it for 4 minutes. And then if it still sucks, I'm out, you know? And so chances are there will be nights when your brain is like, I don't feel like doing a puzzle. I don't want to take a shower or whatever. And you can just be like, I always feel better after, you know, give yourself like a minimum time limit, 3 minutes, and then we can decide, you know, kind of just bargain with yourself.
That makes sense. I like that.
Yeah. And I will say there were some times where my time outside was very short. But most of the time, the hardest part was just getting out the door.
Starting, yes. Yeah.
Once I was out, I was like, all right, this is fine. I'll keep going. And it turned out I was out. I never regretted getting outside.
Right. No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm so glad that you raised your hand accidentally.
Accidentally raised my hand.
Yeah. Thank you for taking time to chat with me this night.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. All right. That was great. So we got Annette. I'm going to promote you to panelist next. And it's just so interesting when we treat things like an experiment that I, you know, that is absolutely one of my biggest philosophies of weight loss is that diets make everything so heavy, so rule-based, so, you know, kind of perfectionist tendencies. And if you just lighten it up, treat it like an experiment, let's see what happens. And I did want to address something that Betty said in the chat. She said to me, if I didn't, you know, I stayed up at night and didn't eat, the feeling would be, what's the point of staying up? That's a really good question. Is the eating keeping you awake? And so like, if you go to bed, you almost kill two birds with one stone. You get more sleep and less eating. Just something to consider. I thought, hi, Annette.
Is he?
So good to see you tonight. Thanks for raising your hand.
Yeah, I don't know what I look like. I hadn't planned on opening or raising my hand. I usually.
We're all friends here. It's all good. I had to like, I looked at myself in the mirror. I was like, oh girl, you need some extra makeup here going on. So it's fine.
All such dark circles under my eyes that looks like somebody punched me most of the time.
Well, I appreciate you being here.
My 95-year-old mother was in the hospital and people kept saying, it's so nice your sister has come to be with you.
Huh.
Your daughter.
Okay.
I need to do something about this. Anyway, I digress.
What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I went to the nighttime eating workshop and I've been fighting this. I have to have a bedtime snack. You'd swear I was, you know, six or something.
Okay.
But when I was a kid, we always had to eat something before bed because my dad used to go to bed hungry when he was a kid, and his kids weren't going to go to bed hungry. Well, needless to say, he passed away, and we just kept eating. So I went to that and something just clicked. And I just quit eating before bed. I mean,
Wow.
on that Sunday night, I just got up and went to bed. And I've only eaten three times before bed since then.
Wow.
The problem that I'm having is that I'm a type 1 diabetic, and if I go and do anything that requires a lot, or not even a lot, but some exercise, like if I go for a walk or I was gardening or whatever, my blood sugar will tank. Like I can go out and it's like 240 when I start, in a half an hour it'll be 42. And so at that point, then I have to eat. Well, if I'm going to do this, it's usually in the afternoon. So then I eat. Well, then when it comes supper time, I'm usually a little hungry, but not, hungry like I usually am. So I don't eat as much. I get to enough fairly quickly and I stop and I stop. But then I don't usually go to bed till 11, 11:30. Well, then I'm hungry. And I'm legit hungry. I'm drinking my water. I drink about 120 ounces of water every day. And I drink some water, and it's like, no, I'm hungry. There's two nights in there. My stomach was just growling and it hurt, whatever. Well, I can eat like a small, and I talked about this on Sunday with MJ, but nobody was raising their hands. So I thought, well, anyway, and I eat a small bag of Skinny Pop popcorn, and that cuts. It's like, okay, your stomach's not growling anymore. I could then just go to bed and I'd be fine because it would take an army to get me out of bed once I'm in bed.
I hear
To me, a catheter would be great because I
you.
really don't like to get up and even pee.
Words I never thought I would hear.
Because I love to sleep. And when I once get to sleep, don't like to get up. So I don't get up to eat. There would be none of that. So, but once I eat that, then it's like, and my thought is not, oh, well, mess that up. You just as well eat. It's just like, okay, I ate that. I better have my normal couple handfuls of almonds. And it's like, well, the almonds are good for you. So I eat those. And I'm like, well, maybe I should. I haven't had chocolate in a long time. Maybe a couple of those truffles would be okay. So I eat those. And like I said, the mindset is not, oh, well, you messed it up. You just well eat everything you can get your hands on. It's just once I eat something, then I just kind of keep eating. And it's not like I am on automatic pilot, but I can hear those thoughts. I ping pong before I eat. But once I eat that first thing, the ping pong game is over.
Okay, I just want to make sure I'm understanding what's going on. Is that since the nighttime eating workshop, you've been able to check in with your body, and when you're not hungry, you're like, okay, just go to bed. Plug in the catheter. But on the other nights, if your blood sugar has dropped, which of course is a legit medical issue, and you're legit hungry, you're like, okay, well, I need to address the blood sugar and the hunger. So I have some popcorn. And then it's like the switch is flipped. And now that you're eating, you're like popcorn and then some chocolate and then some almonds and then and it becomes a spiral.
Well, the blood sugar thing I take care of, it's usually in the afternoon. Well, then I don't eat very much supper,
Got
like
it.
dinner. And because I don't eat that much dinner, it's like I get hungrier
I see.
like at bedtime than I normally do if I don't have that interruption in the afternoon. Usually I don't snack, I don't do anything. And then even if I feel like I'm a little hungry right before bed, I just say, you don't really need it, just go to bed. And I go to bed. where I just, oh, I think I'm hungry, I'm going to eat. I just go to bed. But because of that interruption, and I ate, but then I didn't eat as much at supper between 5:30, 6:30. Then by 11, my stomach's growling, I'm hungry. So then I eat something. I could stop with that one little bag of Skinny Pop popcorn and go to bed, but I don't. That's when I just kind of keep eating.
Okay, so I very much want to and will address the I just keep eating. Just as Marcy said, I'm okay until I start. And she didn't say this, but I'm guessing it's the rest of that sentence is then I just keep going. We're gonna address that. But first, Annette, it sounds like the days that are an issue is when you have a snack in the afternoon and then your dinner is smaller. So hypothetically, what would shift for you if, like on other nights, you don't have that snack in the afternoon, you have a larger dinner, and then you don't eat in the later in like at 11. So hypothetically, like if you've got, let's say, I'm holding my hands up here, like this is the volume of dinner. You could eat it all at once at 6 o'clock. Or you could split it into thirds and eat a third of it at 2, a third of it at 6, and a third of it at 11. Mentally, if you imagine it that way, that like I'm still having the same amount of food, I'm just having some at 2, some at 6, and some at 11. What is that? How does that land for your brain?
I don't think I need that much at 11.
Okay. Well, the ratios could be different. Like it could be whatever, a fourth at 2, 2/4 at, well, a half at 6, and a fourth at 11, hypothetically.
You know, and I think maybe the issue is because I did that because of my blood sugar. I'm thinking I shouldn't even eat supper because I probably already ate enough.
Is that true? That you should not eat supper?
And I wonder if it's diet mentality that, oh, I eat too many calories, because when your blood sugar gets that far, your brain really isn't
Oh yeah.
in, and
Sure, yeah.
you just eat.
Absolutely.
You're not thinking, oh, I'm eating this and this and this. And, you know, and then I'm like, I wonder how many calories I ate. And maybe because the other night, all I had for dinner was some cauliflower and carrot chips with some ranch dressing. That's what I had for my dinner
Okay.
after my, oh, I ate to get
Your
my blood
snack
sugar.
at 2, sure.
And then I was, my stomach was growling, and I was so.
Do you think on those days when you have a snack at 2 to get your blood sugar back in line, is there a thought of I can't eat as much dinner because I already had a bunch of calories? Or is it more about, I'm just not that hungry?
Well, most of it's like, well, I'm not hungry. Really. And then it's like, but you should eat something for your dinner, or you're going to be super hungry
Yeah.
right before bed. So then I play a game of how much I should eat at that point.
Okay. But
Because
again, like if you think about the total volume of food that you would eat on a normal dinner night when you did not ha snack at 2, can your brain kind of parse that out on a day that I did snack at 2 and I'm still kind of roughly eating the same volume of food just at different intervals? Does that equation work for you or not so much?
you know, and I'm wondering if it's what I eat that it doesn't satiate me as much.
Possibly.
Because I went back and looked before I did this, and the days that I did that were the days that my blood sugar went down.
When you
And
say I
then
did that, do you mean the snack?
that I ate before bed.
Okay.
I had 3 days that my blood sugar went down, and those were the days that I ate. And then once I started eating, no matter what happened at dinner and in the afternoon, once I ate, I could have stopped with the one thing, but I just kept eating.
Okay. Like I
But that
said, we're going
approach.
to talk about that. But I wonder, Annette, if you almost could create a protocol for yourself. It's like on days when I ate at two to regulate my blood sugar, here's my rest of the day protocol. Of like if you could map out how would I like the day to go to nurture my body. What's the type of food? Like, we're not necessarily giving you a prescription for like only eat hard-boiled eggs. It's more like, what should dinner look like? What roughly the amount should it be? If I am hungry at 11, what do I want to eat? How much of it? Like, how does that sound to almost create a protocol for those kinds of days?
And maybe those days I should just say, I'll go ahead and eat a normal dinner, but
Maybe.
not as much because I'm going to get to full.
Perhaps. And then you feel pretty confident you won't be hungry at 11.
Yeah. I
Okay.
mean,
That's an idea.
I may feel a little more than enough, but I think in the long run, maybe it will actually be better than
Well, and
me.
chances are those nights when you eat at 11 and you keep eating the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, that's probably also eating past enough.
Oh, yeah. I know that is.
So it's almost like a net, a net calorie. Like, again, we don't count calories, but like if you went ahead and ate your normal size dinner, which might put you a little past enough, but it prevents the 11 o'clock, this thing, and then this thing, and then this thing, that may be a net negative in what you would have eaten the otherwise.
Because we've got the I'm tired issue at 11,
Right.
which I don't have because I'm retired and I don't do enough to get myself tired, really.
That sounds like a story.
The truth. As soon as I retired, it's like, no,
You're
fine.
still allowed to be tired no matter what you do or don't do during the day.
If I think I might be a little tired, I'm going to take me a nap.
Yeah, it's a good
I used
call.
to work 12-hour days all the time. It's like, I couldn't do that anymore.
Sounds like you've earned it.
There's a reason I have gray hair and dark circles. I earned those.
So,
So I think
step
the
one,
protocol is
yeah.
actually a good idea because, I start worrying about, oh, I ate so much. I think a little diet mentality, and I never thought of that, starts creeping in a little bit.
Sure.
And I back off. I'm not even eating to enough, probably.
Yeah, it sounds like you don't eat enough at dinner, which makes you extra hungry at 11.
And then I overeat.
So if I could encourage you to experiment, like draft out a protocol, send it in to us and ask coaches and say, hey, I coached with Lizzie on Tuesday night and we're going to make a protocol for this kind of day, when my blood sugar is low at 2, how am I going to plan for the rest of the day? This is what I think it looks like. Can you help me walk through it? What am I forgetting? What am I missing? And we'll help you through it.
That sounds good.
Amazing. Okay. And then to address the I have some popcorn and then some almonds and then some chocolate and then some crackers and something else. So what is going on is something called dopamine reward prediction error, which is a fancy science way of saying your brain has a it's almost like the senior prom effect. We build up this idea like prom is going to be so great. It's going to be amazing. Our brain builds up this idea that the snack is going to be really, really delicious. And we have it. And it's like, it was fine. And it didn't quite scratch that itch. It didn't quite live up to expectations because our brain has this expectation, just like we have this expectation of senior prom. And so it's like, well, maybe the chocolate will live up to my expectations. The chocolate is like that cute guy who I really wanted to ask me to prom. Maybe I can go to prom with him. It's gonna be great. You try that. And it's like, yeah. It turns out he was a little bit into himself and not actually, a great date. And that's kind of what our brain's doing, is it's looking for that fulfillment of these like lofty fantasy-ish expectations. That's kind of what's going on in our brain. And when you can be kind of aware of that, like when we're just in the throes of it, and believe me, I have absolutely been in it. It's you just kind of you it almost feels very insatiable. Like nothing kind of scratches that itch. Maybe the next thing will. But when you're aware of it in advance, you're like, I see what's happening here. My brain is putting the snack up on a pedestal and nothing's going to live up to that. And so it's going to keep looking for the next thing. Then it can be like, it's not actually the snack. It's not, certainly not hunger that I'm looking for. It's that like fulfillment of a need. And so what is that need underneath? For me, usually when I find myself, grazing through the pantry of like, what's the next thing? Because that last thing wasn't quite scratching the itch. It's boredom. Boredom eating just sucks. Like it's so hard. And I used to tell myself the story of like, boredom is such a stupid reason to eat. But actually, when I learned that the brain registers boredom like next door neighbors to where it registers physical pain, it's like, oh, maybe that's not a dumb reason to eat. So that's what I have learned about me. When it's 11 o'clock at night for you, you may not be bored. You may be tired. What do you think is the need underneath that reward prediction error that your brain is kind of going through?
I think it's tired, plus I usually grab things I don't generally eat. So it's like, well, since I was hungry, I'm going to eat these few things I don't usually eat. It's kind of like I'm not really restrictive. Because if I wanted to eat them, I'd eat them. But like the truffles, I have them in right in here, right across the thing. And I used to love chocolate. I mean, I would have, hurt people for chocolate. I can go months without chocolate now.
What
Because
changed?
no BS changed me. I just don't need it anymore. It doesn't give me that hug because chocolate releases a chemical in your brain that is equal to a hug. And I don't need that hug anymore.
Why not?
Well, because I have great accountability partners. And when I need that, I reach out to them and their great support and I just don't need that hug anymore.
Well, I think what I'm hearing is that you get that need met in a different way. Yeah. And so going back to, for me, it's boredom is the need that I'm trying to meet. For you, you said you eat things you don't normally eat. Is the need novelty, something different, or is it also boredom? What do you think that need might be?
When I eat, it's tired. I'm just tired. And sometimes I'm watching a show. I want to finish it. So then if I eat, I stay, then I can stay awake longer because I'm eating. And I can finish that as if, I couldn't get up in the morning and finish it because
I
it's
was just
all
going to ask, like, what's the benefit of staying up longer?
So I have been telling myself, turn it off. It'll stop right where you are, and you can turn it on, and it'll be in the same place. You'll be okay.
But again, these are useful questions because, like, when I love to go to bed early. I am so not a night person. However, when my husband was in the military and he would deploy and I was home alone, I'd put the kids to bed and I would stay up way later than I normally would. And I didn't stop to think about it at the time, but looking back, it was like I was lonely. I didn't want to go to bed alone. And watching TV was a poor substitute, but it was like having someone to talk to or talk at me. So that I was that the need then was loneliness. Yes, I was tired, but I was lonely. And so it's all about kind of asking, what is the need underneath this?
Yeah, and it's just, I want to finish that program because I kind of watch stuff that, and the problem is the stuff I watch, it ends
On a cliffhanger?
with that thing,
I
but you have to watch the next one,
think they
it's,
do that on purpose.
yeah, they do. And then it's like, no. And sometimes I stop it before it gets there because I know.
Right.
So I stop it and
Yeah.
bed because yeah, I talk to myself all the time.
Okay, well.
And people wonder why. And I'm like, well, I gotta talk to somebody intelligent once in a while. Well, tell my husband.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, I used to play goalie in soccer, and so you spend the whole game all by yourself. So I would talk to myself in the goal. So I'm a big fan of talking to yourself. You quite a
Sometimes I don't have
conversationalist.
that. Sometimes I don't have very intelligent answers, but
Okay. But again, like if you can develop that skill, just as Corinne talks about with the ping pong, that's a version of talking to yourself. And helping yourself be like, oh, I see this cliffhanger's on its way. Do I want to stop now? You're going to regret it if you stay up late, and you're just kind of ping ponging back and forth. And it's a great skill.
yeah, and I'm private coaching with Christy right now, and I decided, in all my stupidity, to quit drinking Diet Pepsi, which I have drank Diet Pepsi since Shep was a pup. And we decided to work on this, what, 2 weeks ago. And I have had one Diet Pepsi in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Used to drink like four a day.
So again, there's a need. How are you meeting that need in a different way?
Number one, I don't buy it. So, and I live in a very, very small town. I mean, very small,
Okay.
small county. So if I want it, I have to drive somewhere to get it. And again, I don't like to leave the house or anything. So
Yeah.
anyway,
Well,
I just don't get it. And then I did find that, somebody kind of hurt my feelings, and I wanted a Diet Pepsi. I found a reason, and I wanted one bad. I mean, I was going to go to the store and get one, but I
Right.
didn't. I
Okay.
sat with my feelings, and it's like, this is not going to bother me
Yeah.
in a week.
Yeah.
Thinking all about it, and Diet Pepsi isn't going to help. So.
So it's so clear that you're doing a great job of just examining, what is this urge about? What's the need underneath? And just again, having that great dialogue with yourself. But I do encourage you, Annette, to, kind of draft up a protocol for yourself for those 2 p.m. days and, send it into us on Ask Coaches and we'll help you out with it. Okay.
Yeah, I will. I'll need some help with the protocol. I'm not
Great.
real good at that, but
Thank you,
okay.
Annette. All
Thank you
right.
so much, Lizzie.
You're so welcome. And anybody else who has a special situation that has some kind of regularity to it, or some this happens to me every 6 weeks, or it happens to me sometimes, but it's not just a one-off thing. That's again an opportunity to have a protocol, period protocol, I'm depressed protocol, my in-laws came to town protocol. There's all kinds of things that are not normal, but also not one-off. They're not so unusual that you can't be like, you know what, I could predict, I could make a plan for how to handle this. Tracy, yes, there is a protocol worksheet. And as we're talking, I will go look for it. Marcy says, the lonely thing really hit me hard, even though I know that I am. It makes no sense though, because I can be with someone and want them to leave so I can eat sometimes. You're not alone, because I'm trying to do two things at once here and find that protocol spreadsheet. You can be with other people and still feel lonely because you're basically feeling not seen. All right, and my links are not working, so gonna have to work on that. One thing at a time here. If you want to eat, you want that person to leave so you can eat. That's basically like the food is becoming your company. And that's not wrong. That's not, a moral failing. Like a lot of times food can feel like your friend. I was talking about like when my husband was away, like the television was my friend because I didn't have a person to talk to. And so, it can feel safe. It doesn't judge you. So you're not wrong to have those feelings of like, I want the person to leave so that I can be alone with the thing that doesn't judge me. But just also look underneath that, like, what is the need that that food's meeting? That need might be acceptance, that me might be feeling seen, that might be feeling safe. And so, are you giving those feelings to yourself? And B, are there relationships that are not meeting that need? And therefore, you can kind of evaluate those relationships. But most importantly, are you giving yourself that need first? So again, Marcy, that's something totally in depth that we could address and ask coaches. I probably can find the link for that as we're talking. But I can't seem to find my link for the protocol. Just give me one more second, see if I can find it. If not, we'll put it up on the website somewhere real quick. Let me do a search. Go. Spelling helps. Nope, can't find it. Oh, wait. All right. If you go to the helpful worksheets page, found it. Here we go. There's the link in the chat. That is the personal protocol page. So basically, what you want to do is go on the website, go to resources. Look for helpful worksheets and it's at the bottom, personal protocol spreadsheet or template. Whew, found it. Multitasking. All right, team. Thank you so much for being here this evening. Thank you for talking to me about your nighttime urges and things like that. If there's anything at all we can help you with, please write in to us and ask coaches. We are here for you. We want to help you with things that are going on. We have all been through it. We sometimes are going through it with you. And so, but we have the tools and the skills. Corinne has just taught us up well. So we're here to help you. And thank you so much for being here. And we'll see you out in the Facebook group. All right, thanks everyone. Bye.